Hallelujah. I remember back in the 90s, the Lord speaking to me and saying, and telling me, you know, your function, your role here is as prophetic pioneers. And I remember if you were around back in these days, I remember teaching on that many times. And but not really, to be honest, even understanding the fullness of what that meant, or even the cost of pioneering. And just as we were worshipping this morning, I began to see many of the people that have passed through our church, through our fellowship over the years, many who have stood with us over the years, and to be honest, many who I believe should still be here, but they're not here. And that's part of the cost of pioneering. It's part of the cost of pioneering. People don't understand really what the cost attached and associated with pioneering, but that's what we're here. We're here as prophetic pioneers. You know, pioneers are not always the most refined. They're a bit rough sometimes. That doesn't always appeal to people. And even when we were, you know, I was thinking as we were here on Wednesday night, and as we all began to pray in the Spirit at one point, I felt it was a real release and a real mighty release of power in that. Yeah. Do you know how many people left this church because they said praying in the Spirit of that was wrong? Together. Everybody praying in tongues at one time was wrong. And I think, wow. You know, I mean, but anyway. Some of these people, some of the ones I saw this morning as we were worshipping, I saw them. And I thought, man, they should still be here. They were never supposed to leave here. They were never supposed to go from here. But there's a cost. There's a real cost attached to pioneering. Anyway, hallelujah. Rebuilding the church. Glory to God. We've been looking at this. This is the fourth week we've looked at this. Rebuilding, revision, back to the original plan. It's so important if you're rebuilding to go back to the original plan. Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish, the people go off, they miss their purpose, they can get past the use-by date. One definition of perishable is having a brief life or significance, transitory. New King James translates Proverbs 29:18 as where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Remember, revelation, I'm sharing with you this morning from the revelation that I have received. But as I share my revelation with you, I'm bringing it to you as information. Mm-hmm. The preacher always brings information. It's from his revelation, but to you it's information. It's then important that you take this information and make it your meditation. Because if you don't make this information your meditation, it will never become your revelation. And until it becomes your revelation, it will never result in transformation in your life. I'm bringing to you revelation that I know from experience can transform your life. I'm here to testify to say that all I'm bringing to you this morning, I know that it works. But it won't work for you if you just try and take my revelation and make it work for you. It must become. The preacher goes out and he sows seed. And if there's no ground, if the ground is not willing to receive that seed can never produce. Go back and read that parable of the sower again. You discover there's stages in there. Information, meditation. You bring it in deep into your life and it begins to feed you, begins to break loose on the inside, it begins to impact on every part of your life, and it becomes revelation to you. And as you apply that revelation, as you apply the revelation, it will, I can guarantee you, result in supernatural transformation in your life. Otherwise, it just bounces off hard ground. Oh man, I've seen it over the years. This incredible, powerful, life-changing, life-transforming information just bouncing off the hard ground. Trying to make a preacher weep at it, I'll tell you. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. The Amplified Bible makes it even clearer. Where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. God is no respecter of persons. If it works for me, it'll work for you. If it works for you, it'll work for me. If it worked for Moses, it'll work for me. If it worked for King David, it'll work for me. Whatever work, come on now. And so the vision of New Wine Church is centered, as I've said over and over again, I just want to keep repeating this as we're going through this, is centered around a message. And it's the message of the cross. And the message of everything that Jesus accomplished on the cross. It's important that the message includes everything. And the primary message of the cross is very simple, very straightforward, very succinct, very easily understood and hard to misunderstand. The message is God loves you. Yeah. And he wants you back. You're lost to him, but he wants you back. So the foundation has been laid, and so it's important that what is built arises from that foundation. Last time we looked at, again, just as a little bit of revision on the two men, the two houses. Remember the two outcomes following one shared experience. And as I said last week, I believe that the different outcome that they both experienced from the one shared experience was due to two attitudes to one message. Two different attitudes. One thought he could hear it and just let it fly. Another thought knew that what he heard he had to apply. I know that rhymes, it's pretty cool. We could wrap it up here. I don't mean finish it, I mean we could start it. Hallelujah. It's always important. It's so vital that we understand that neither man's house was storm free. Both of them experienced the same storm, the same conditions. But when the storm was over, when the storm had passed, one man's house was still standing. Now, maybe it was a little battered and bruised, but it was still standing. Proverbs 4 verse 7 says, wisdom, say wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, the most important thing. Therefore, remember we're talking about God's order. Wisdom must come. The principal thing is that which must come first. You must place it first. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the foundation. Not the wisdom of this world that the Bible says is earthly and sensual and demonic, and there's plenty of that stuff flying around if you haven't noticed. But the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom of Almighty God Himself, the one who put us all together, the one who created all this, the one whose purpose it is to bring it to the fulfillment of His plan. His wisdom is available to us. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally. He's not stingy with it. He's not conservative with it. He's liberal with it. He gives liberally to everyone. There's all of the wisdom is available to you if you just ask. If you recognize, as we said last time, seek first the kingdom of God. What are you going there for? You're asking for the wisdom of God to be released into your situation. Wisdom, I remember getting this a few years ago, wisdom brings the understanding that we are standing under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom and know you're getting, get understanding that you're standing under. But you're standing under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The people of the world under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Saved, healed, and delivered. Proverbs 9 verse 1 says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out, dug down deep, and hewn out and set up her seven pillars. Remember the seven pillars? Soundproof heart, sickness-proof body, depression-proof mind, recession-proof finances, divorce-proof marriage, strife-proof relationships, and a death-proof life. We need to catch something here, folks. Sin and sickness and oppression and depression and every other oppression and session and financial challenges, marital difficulties, opportunities to be offended, life-threatening situations, they'll still come beating on your house. They're going to come beating on your house. But we will remain standing when we are standing under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and resisting every attempt to move us away from what He has said. From what He has said. It is written. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. See, a lot of the time I've seen this over and over and over again, and I've felt the temptation of it myself too many times. A lot of the time people just give up way too easily on the life of faith. And the reason is because they don't grasp, part of the reason at least, and I believe a major part of the reason is because they don't grasp the difference between possession and experience.
Yeah.
See, our possession relates to who we already are in Christ, according to God's word, according to God's declaration over us. God says you're righteous. You think, well, I don't feel very righteous. I didn't even do very righteous yesterday, or this morning, or 5 minutes ago. But our possession relates to who God says that we are, who we already are in Christ, according to God's word. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. The old has gone. The new has come. But our experience is where we see ourselves being at right now. Or how we might feel about our situation right now. Or about how others might tell us how we look or appear or act right now. And so the exercise of our faith, it's what will close the gap between our possession and our experience.
Right.
Let me try and help you this a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 11. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy. New King James says, be sober, be vigilant. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist. Say resist. Resist and stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. The same stuff's beating off everybody's house. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we need to understand our life of faith has to mature. And our faith becomes stronger only one way, as we exercise it. And it begins with resistance training or strength training, sometimes that's called. Apparently strength training or resistance is defined as a type of physical exercise that specializes in the use of resistance in order to induce muscular contraction, which builds the strength, the anaerobic endurance, and the size of skeletal muscles. We need to develop our faith muscle. And when we recognize that the temptation to sin or symptoms of sickness or an oppressive influence coming against us, when we begin to recognize these things as an attack of the enemy, and rather than just lie down under them, we choose to resist that attack, we begin to build our faith muscle. God says, I'm already the healed. So why are these symptoms of sickness? Why should I allow them entrance? I'm going to take what God has said and use what God has said by his stripes. I am healed. So I'm going to He is the Lord who heals me. He heals all of my diseases. So I'm going to take that word and I'm going to use my faith to resist what's coming against me. I Say, if you go down to the gym and for the next 2 years only lift 5K, 5kgs, man, you ain't going nowhere. You're stuck in pathetic weakness, puniness and weakness, and everybody's going to laugh at you. How come the devil can believe and tremble, and the people of God can just, here we go again? That's a pretty sad indictment on the church when the devil believes more than the church does. When demons believe more than the Christians do, that's a pretty radically tragic indictment against the church. It's time for change. Major change. Supernatural transformation kind of change. When your information becomes meditation, it'll become revelation. When you apply that revelation, I tell you, you're going to see some transformation, and everybody else is going to see it too. You're going to start shining like that light you're supposed to be. And that city is set upon the hill is going to be starting to put a beacon out. Come on, somebody. When the church starts to get rebuilt according to the original plan. You know what? That's just the beginning of our journey. Of aligning our experience with our possession. As I was meditating on this, I began to think about the difference between something that is water resistant and something that is waterproof. So that's the way we've been bringing it. Sin-proof heart, you know, sickness-proof body, oppression and depression-proof mind, recession-proof finances, divorce-proof marriage, strife-proof relationships, and a division-proof church. Glory to God, wouldn't that be something? Death-proof life. And even as I was upstairs this morning, just praying a little bit before coming down here, and Romans 12, I had that in my prayer and asked that God's good and acceptable and perfect will would be done. And something like Kirsty prayed that earlier as well. And began to realize, you know, you see, it says that when we begin to prove. When we lay down our lives as living sacrifices, when we bring our lives in that place of acceptable worship before Him, it says that we begin to prove. You know what worship is? Spirit and truth. It's not just lifting your hands and doing a wee dance and singing nice songs, which is great and fantastic. Spirit and truth is when you say, I acknowledge that what you say is the final word on everything. Yeah. That's worship. That's what worship. Worship doesn't argue and fuss and cuss. And doubt and walk down the road of unbelief. No. It goes, I believe what you say is the final word. That's worship and truth. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? I'm sick of your songs and your... tired of all your songs. When you're not doing what I say. Well, he loves to hear a song. Don't get me wrong. He loves to hear them coming from a heart that's submitted to Him, that says, you truly are Lord of my life. And he knows that he's Lord of our lives one way. He says, if you love me, if you really love me, like if you really genuinely love me, you will keep my commandments. You will do what I say. You will prove. And I thought, well, that's it. We get to that place. It's like, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Okay. I'll try to remember to come back to this in a second. You see, water resistant means it's something that a material is able to resist the penetration of water to some degree, but not entirely. So I'm going to try and help you this morning, okay? Water repellent, which is the next level, means not easily penetrated by water, especially as a result of being treated for such a purpose with a surface coating. And then waterproof is impervious to water. The water cannot penetrate. Fisherman's oil skins. Who knows what I'm talking about? They don't want water resistant out there. Helps a little bit. And as I was praying, I thought, you know, well, water resistant, that's good. And then then water repellent, well, that's acceptable. But waterproof. That's perfect. And we need to go after the perfect will of God. Yeah. need to go after the being sin proof, sickness proof, impervious to sickness, impervious to sin, impervious to recession, impervious, come on somebody, impervious to divorce, impervious to strife, impervious to death. I ain't checking out until I know that I know that I know that he's saying, come on up. In fact, that lady that was here, remember the prophet KK Chan, that elderly lady, she said God told her more than one occasion, two or three times, God told her, you can choose. She was in her 80s already, still full of life. Still an intercessor, still standing in her place, still recognizing she had a function and a purpose. And God said to her, said, you can choose when you check out. Imagine going in a hotel and not being able to leave until they told you. Come on, you check out when you want to go. Otherwise, something funny's going on. I know that doesn't sound very religious, and I know it certainly doesn't fit in with the culture of this island, but I'll tell you, meditate on it a little while. Get back to the Word with it. You might just discover some things in the Word you didn't know were there. The tradition blocks your vision for. Come on, someone. So at the beginning of our journey, we need to practice being sin resistant. Now sometimes a little bit of sin may get through. See, people give up. They say, Donnie Stewart told me I was the healed and here I'm sick again. That's a load of rubbish. I'm not listening to that guy ever again. Phil, I'm mince that guy. Rubbish. I'm going back when they tell me it's okay to be sick. I'm going back into that place where they tell me it's God's will that I'm sick. I can live with that. Well, you can live with that if you want. You may die with it too. Before your time. A little bit of sickness, your sickness resisting, but maybe a little bit still getting through. You don't give up because a little bit's getting through. You see, I need to move on to repellent. In fact, I need to get beyond repellent. I need to get to proof. But I don't give up because a little bit got through. I don't give up because I got a sniffle. I don't even give up because something knocked me flat in my back. No, I get back up again. And I build that muscle till it becomes proof. Till I begin to prove not just the good or the acceptable, but the perfect will. I become right into full alignment with the perfect will. I don't ever stop until I reach that place. I keep building that, and I keep that level of faith operating and functioning in my life. I don't ever think I've arrived or I can quit on it now. I just read it yesterday, 2 Samuel chapter 11. David thought, this throne's getting kind of comfy. I know it's a time when kings usually go out and do some king business out there and keep things in order, but I think I'll just send everybody else this time, and maybe I'll just stay home this time. Well, you know what kind of mess that got me, don't you? The stronger we become, the more sin repellent, the more sickness repellent, the more oppression repellent we become, until we become sin proof, sickness proof, oppression proof. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. It's a journey. Something that we engage with, it's something that we recognize. Come on, this is what I'm here to. I'm here to prove something. I'm here to be the proof of something. Not just words, not just more traditional guff. Not just go through the ritual of spilling it out and come on. And everybody wondering why it doesn't work. And everybody excusing why it doesn't work. And people pointing fingers at God because it must be God's fault. No, he's done everything. He's done everything that he could ever possibly do in order for us to walk in the fullness. This is just revision. I've been preaching this for the last 20 odd years. Come on. This ain't something that just came down the pipe. Glory to God. It all becomes a little bit fresh. I realized something a few days ago. I thought, you know something? I thought, I have been battling, and I've been winning the battle. But I've been battling. It's been beaten off my house. Something that I never ever thought would ever impact my life. I've been battling depression. It's been trying to get on me. It's like this weight of... And I thought, wow, I've always been a pretty positive, kind of positive person, you know. I'm a dreamer, like, you know what I mean? Dreamers, you know, you just have to get them, put them down. But I recognise, it's a few days, I thought, wait a minute, this is a storm that's been designed to take me down. That old devil, man, he read the three pigs, you know what I mean? I'll huff and I'll puff. I'll blow your house down. You've got to get up in the inside and say, oh no, you won't! You've got to get into pantomime mode, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everything he comes and tells he's going to do, you've got to say, oh no, you won't! Oh, you are, oh no, you won't!
Right.
I realised, this is a few days ago. This is freaky, man. That's what it is. That's what this has been about. I tell you, some of us have experienced some pretty heavy duty weather systems. Bringing all kinds of pressure against our house. But I'm here to encourage you today. We need to be encouraged. Doesn't matter how heavy duty that weather system has been. Doesn't even matter if it's managed to break through a little bit and do a little bit of damage. We can still be standing when it's over. We can still be standing and still declaring and proclaiming Jesus Christ is Lord. Because if we are in Christ, we are new creations. We're no longer sinners trying to get righteous. We are. That's our possession. Now, let's bring our experience up. That's what we put into there, into our mission statement, into our vision statement all these years ago. We will never bring our experience down to the level, we'll never bring God's word, down to the level of our experience, but we will believe, we will build our faith, we will keep resisting until our experience comes up to what God has said about who we are, about what we can have, and about what we can do. Come on, somebody. We were saying this morning, I can do all things through Christ. These songs were bringing us here, you see. Every song we're singing, I thought, where we are, we're moving in. Our hearts are being prepared here. If we're singing these words from our hearts are being prepared right now. This is ploughing the ground for us to create a good ground so that the word can be deposited in it. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus with power and authority in the name of Jesus to resist sin. Whatever is not of faith, whatever is not in agreement with what God has said, the Bible says, is sin.
That's right.
And so to sin-proof our heart, all we need to do, very simply, is believe. That's what Jesus said, didn't he? He said, only believe. We just simply need to believe what God says over every other voice. And wow, there are a lot of voices out there. It's like there's more and more voices all the time. Coming from more and more different angles. They're coming through different media. Romans chapter 3 verse 21. But now God has shown us, we've read this every time, but I'm just going to read it again. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. Isn't that interesting? He says, Moses, well, through whom the law came, actually promised in his writings that this day would come when we would no longer be made righteous by keeping the requirements of the law. Verse 22, we are made right with God. You can stay there if you want, or you can recognize that grace and truth. Hallelujah. Came with Jesus Christ, hallelujah. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Simply, that's as simple as it gets. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. That's all they have to do, is believe in Jesus. Nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. The potential is there for them to be declared righteous, but it happens when they believe in Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, already referred to this several times. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. I think that's from the New Living Translation. I like it. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God. So we talk about words like righteousness, and people don't always understand what they mean, but it means to be made right with God, to be given right standing with God. We just simply believe that Jesus made everything right between us and God. Now, as we've said over and over and over again over the last 20 odd years, we can now enter and stand in God's presence with no sense of fear or guilt or shame or condemnation or any other negative emotion, but there should be an incredible, overwhelming sense of awe.
Yeah.
How could you ever be in the presence of God without experiencing that awe? When God shows up, it's an awesome thing, because he's an awesome God. I tell you, any time the manifest presence of God shows up anywhere, usually people end up on their faces. And it usually tells them to get up. At the end of that experience, it's time to get up and do something with this. Amen. I'll always come back to this example, but when Isaiah comes into the throne room of God, I mean, he's just like you and me would be. And what he says isn't wrong. What he says is truth. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. But you know what? When that was his confession, he was useless to God. He was useless as a prophet. He was supposed to be a prophet. A prophet who makes that kind of confession is useless. But in the presence of God, in the throne room of God, he discovered that there's an answer, a solution to everything that's wrong. And God sends the answer, a fiery coal off the altar to... What happens when that fiery coal touches his lips and sears his lips? His confession changes. Because when God says, whom will I send and who will go? He doesn't say, there's no point in sending me. I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell alone. No, no, no. He says, here I am. Here I am. Send me. I'll go. And what powerful prophetic revelation he brought. So much revelation and prophetic revelation of the Messiah who was to come. Come on now. So folks, we need to leave behind that passive acceptance and that bogus theology of whatever will be. That garbage that some of us got programmed with, and we need to just leave it behind us. Because there's now things that we can actually actively and aggressively expect as those who have been declared righteous. As those who refuse to either talk ourselves, who knows how good we are at talking ourselves out of stuff? False humility. You know what true humility is? It's agreeing with what God says about you. Because anything else is pride. God says, you're righteous. Oh, no, not me. Oh, no, that's pride. You're answering it back. don't know about you. I didn't go down well with my parents answering them back. Come on now. When God says, you're righteous, you better say, yes, that's exactly who I am. Thank you very much. Thank you for reminding me of that. We need to stop talking ourselves out of these things. We need to stop allowing anyone else to talk us out of that. But it's actually a spiritual reality. We are righteous. We have right standing with God. We have it. We're not trying to attain it. We have it. It's our possession. And all we have to do is believe for our experience to align with our possession. And the more we believe it and proclaim it and declare it and confess it, the more we will come to that place of proving the perfect will of God. Because our new life, it's not lived naturally. Our new life is supernatural. God has added his super to our natural. And he is the one who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can even just ask or think or imagine. You come and ask for something and he just blows what you ask for out of the water by adding so much more to it. But that happens when we actively and aggressively expect to experience his good and his acceptable and his perfect will to be accomplished in our lives. We don't expect anything less. We don't expect anything less. We're not here for the crumbs that fall from the master's table. We're not here as the dogs. Come on, we're here as the children of God. Hallelujah. The children, he sets them down at a table that he spread before them, even in the presence of their enemies, even in the presence of the storm, even in the presence of the most dastardly, awful, diabolical thing that's ever come against you. He says, sit down at my table. And on that table you will find everything that you need and more. You can be satisfied at this table. Oh, hallelujah. We've already looked at some of these things that we can actively and aggressively expect. We've seen that as the righteous we can expect supernatural favour, that attitude of approval over generous preferential treatment, support or advancement that's given as a sign of approval or promotion. Supernatural reward, appreciation of an act or quality by making a gift. We can expect supernatural reward. We can expect supernatural protection of someone that prevents someone or something from harm or injury. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Supernatural vindication, clearance from blame or suspicion that shows or proves us to be right. Hallelujah. Come on. Shows our actions or our words to be reasonable or justified. Supernatural provision. What was Paul's declaration? My God shall supply all of your needs. So let's move on. Proverbs 15 verse 29. Said all that to come to this. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. We can expect, actively and aggressively expect, supernatural answers to prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is, your perfect will as it is in heaven. Give us today. Give us today. Come on, give us today. What do you need today? You can expect, actively and aggressively expect, supernatural answers to your prayer, to your request. Give us today our daily bread. Not the crumbs. As much of that loaf as you need. Fresh from heaven's bakery. Come on. Psalm 37:29. The righteous shall inherit the land. Why can you expect that? Because you're righteous. Because you've been declared righteous. Man, doesn't matter what you feel. Don't talk yourself out of this. Don't let anybody else talk you, or they'll be there queuing up to talk you out of this. Don't let anybody talk you out of that. Psalm 37 verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. we can actively and aggressively expect to receive supernatural inheritance. You know, everything's about land. You see, when you occupy the land, you make the rules. When you occupy the land, you raise the flag. The Lord said, every place you put the sole of your feet, you claim that. You raise the flag, you raise the standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood, come on somebody, when the storm's beating, who raises the standard? The Holy Spirit raises the standard. Supernatural inheritance. The Lord said to Joshua, he said, if you will meditate on my word day and night, then, and you will do what it says, I will make your way prosperous. You will have good success as you walk into the fullness of your inheritance. Let me just remind us of something here this morning. The land belongs to the Lord.
Yes.
And whoever He gives it to.
Yeah.
He decides who it belongs to. That's what all that fussing's over there in the Middle East, isn't it? The Lord said, I'm giving this land to Israel. Yeah. And everybody else is saying, no, you're not! And He said, oh yes, I am. And He's proven it too. I said, He's proven it over and over and over and over again. He's proven it. The land belongs to Him and to whoever He gives it to. And He gives it to the obedient. He said in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. If you'll be willing and obedient, I'll give you this land, He's saying. If you'll stand firm and say, I am going to be the proof of God's perfect will in this place, then He will give you this land. That might not look like it right now. You might be quick to try and talk yourself out of that. You might have allowed other people to talk. I just want to tell you, He's giving you this land. New Wine Church, He's giving you this land if you will stand. I was driving over the Barris Moor one day. I passed a car. The Lord said, one day you'll overtake the denomination, the biggest denomination this island that man represents. Yeah, that or I had too much toasted cheese the night before. Someone's got to stand and stand and stand and stand and go on standing and go on proclaiming and declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to tell you, if He gives you this land, and when He gives you this land, everybody in this land will be blessed as a result of that. It's not about taking it off somebody and saying, get out of here. No. It's because when you get it, everybody gets blessed because of it. Because you're standing in that place where you proclaim and declare God's perfect will. Not just over you, not just over your rinky-dinky little deal, but over everybody that's in the land. Everybody gets blessed. Not just a few, not the chosen few, not the select few. Everybody gets blessed when you get the land. Somebody, you need to hear the prophetic force behind that. Come on, somebody. The wind's blowing through here right now. It's not the destructive wind, it's the wind of the Spirit. Psalm 37, verse 39. But how can you expect that? Because you're the righteous. Because He's declared over you and you're choosing to believe that. You're choosing to actively and aggressively expect what's attached to that. Psalm 37 verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. We can actively and aggressively expect supernatural strength. The anointing of God. God's power on human flesh enabling us to do what we could never do on our own. As I said earlier, we were saying that I can do all things through Christ, through the anointed one, with His anointing, who strengthens me. The things we could never, ever even have begun to dream about doing on our own, He gives us the ability, supernatural strength, to accomplish that. Hallelujah. We can actively and aggressively expect that. Psalm 64, we need to move this thing quickly. Psalm 64, verse 10, and then 68, Psalm 68, verse 3. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. We can expect, actively and aggressively expect, a supernatural resource of joy. Supernatural resource of joy. Not the kind of joy that's attached to everything going well in the natural, no, the supernatural resource of joy that bubbles up from the inside even when everything's going backwards.
Yeah.
Back to front. Upside down. Everything looks totally contrary to how you'd expect it to look, and yet this joy just won't, this tenacity just won't let go. Hallelujah. See, we have unhindered access to his presence. And in his presence there is fullness. Not a trickle. No, fullness of joy. And I don't know if everybody accepts this or not, but that joy tongue the Lord gave me, man, it works. I mean, I know that's a... Don't worry, yes, I ain't going into writing. See, Jesus says to me, I've given you my word for a purpose, so that you can have joy. Supernatural joy. Supernatural joy. So that no matter what's happening or going on, you've got my word, and because you've got my word, then you can have joy. Oh, hallelujah. We can actively and aggressively expect supernatural joy. Joy. Psalm 27. Psalm 72, sorry. Back to front. See, when everyone goes back to front. Psalm 27 is real good, dude, by the way. Psalm 72, verse 7. In his days the righteous shall flourish and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. So the day that you look up and the moon's not there anymore, you can expect this to... I might say, the day you look up and the moon ain't there no more, you won't be here no more either. In his days, the righteous shall flourish and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. We can expect, actively and aggressively expect, supernatural increase and peace.
Yeah.
See, to flourish, you know, remember the motto of Glasgow, let Glasgow flourish? They shortened it to that, but you know the original motto of the city of Glasgow is, let Glasgow flourish under the preaching of your word and the praises of your people, something like that. Isn't that incredible? And then they cut that off and they think, let Glasgow flourish. They think, well, not half as much as they could. Shaka basunda. To flourish means to develop rapidly and successfully, to thrive, to prosper, to do well, to increase and to multiply. And an abundance of peace, of shalom, as we know and declare and proclaim and speak out over and over and over again, nothing missing. When shalom manifests, there's nothing missing, there's nothing broken. The peace of God, the supernatural peace of God, replaces and restores everything that was missing and heals everything that was broken. We can expect, actively and aggressively expect, supernatural increase, supernatural peace. Proverbs 10, verse 16, the labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. We can expect supernatural blessings. The blessing of the Lord, according to the word of God, makes rich and adds no sorrow. Our labor is the works of faith, the works that flow out from what God has said, that originate from what God has said. Works that are supernaturally enabled by his supernatural strength. Works that arise from the place of resting in his faithfulness, that he will accomplish all that he has promised. All we have to do is step out in what he said and expect him to come and confirm that word with the accompanying signs, the supernatural blessings of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll never have to be limited again by the natural, even by your natural income or anything else, because there are supernatural blessings that we can actively and aggressively expect. Hallelujah. That can be a hard one, that can be a tough one, but I tell you, it's the truth. Proverbs 11, verse 4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. We can expect supernatural deliverance from death. We can actively and aggressively expect supernatural deliverance from death. How many people, even with great wealth, have discovered that in the face of what has been diagnosed as terminal illness, that even the very best medical treatment that their money could buy could not save them? Tragic, but I've seen it happen over and over again. You see it in the news, you see it the accounts in newspapers when people of celebrity, as they call them, all of a sudden something happens and it doesn't matter how much money they've got. They try to throw all the money, and they would throw all the money they had at it, but it doesn't, it's not sufficient. Riches do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. We can, because we are the righteousness of God, because we have been declared righteous by Him, we can expect actively and aggressively expect supernatural deliverance from death. Whenever death unleashes the devil's wrath against us prematurely, we can expect supernatural deliverance. Somebody experienced that. Glory to God. I know I've experienced that more than once. Hallelujah. But the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for good.
Yeah.
I never passed that lock in Tulsa Coolidge now without thinking, man, the one bit of that lock that isn't right up against the road is the bit where my tire blew out. Amen. Car on its roof and it rolls down onto that one bit of shore. That one little bit of shore. I passed it the other day again on Friday. I thought, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're lying there upside down thinking, man, this is a bit weird. In the pitch black. Trying to get a seatbelt off and I've got clicking out by window. You get out, you climb up the embankment and car comes along, there's a young girl there, and then the next car that comes along is my next door neighbour, just came off the Harris Ferry, took me all the way home. I get home, I tell Katrina what's happened, I go back up the road to give Granny her 10 o'clock, and as I come out of the house, I notice there's an ambulance and a police car sitting outside her house, and I'm thinking, what are they doing here? Walk down the road and I walk in, and are you the man that was in the accident? I said, yes. He said, well, just come and see it. Yes. He said, no problem, here, man, I'll leave it. I'm fine. The ambulance guys took off. The police said, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to breathalyze it. I said, well, you're 30 years too late for that. Fire on. Hallelujah. I got a text the other day. We believe you were in an accident, a no blame accident. You know, if they were, you know, they're what? I said, I'm sorry, but there's nothing wrong with me. Tempting, no? Sure you didn't have any whiplash, well. Actually, there is a bit of a recurring pain. I have a pain in the neck, but I won't tell you who that is. Oh, Esther, that's terrible. How could it possibly be Katrina? She could never be with me. I don't have a pain in the neck at all, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm healed. Jesus came to deliver those who all of their lifetime had been in bondage to the fear of death. We can expect, actively and aggressively expect, supernatural deliverance from death every time the devil releases his wrath against us prematurely. Come on, somebody. You see, we need to understand, fear is actually faith, but it's faith in the devil's ability to harm you. We need to have more faith in the Lord's ability to keep us from harm than we have in the devil's ability to harm us. That's another imbalance that needs to be redressed. Proverbs 18:10, nearly done. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. We can actively and aggressively expect supernatural security. I've got one statement and one statement only to make on that. Na da 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 da. I hate to miss an opportunity to use it. Da 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 da. Then David Crowder put on that song, and I thought, well done, son. he goes more like, na 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 na. Hey. When I heard that song, I thought, hang on a minute, I'm going to count the na's in there. Yes! Na na na. Oh, come on. Proverbs 21. I see, that's to the devil, it's intimidation. To the Lord is praise. Hallelujah. I said to the devil, it's intimidation. To the Lord is praise. Proverbs 21:26, the righteous gives and does not spare. Hallelujah. Supernatural generosity. We can expect, actively and aggressively expect, to be employed in acts of supernatural generosity, to have opportunities to express supernatural generosity. Why? Because the righteous know that they can never outgive God. The righteous know that giving keeps us in the cycle of blessing. In fact, this is the one area that God even asks us to test him in. It's supernatural. Giving is supernatural. Yeah. Give and it will be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, so shall men give to you, back to you. What does the world see? What does it put it again? Grab all you can all you grab, and then sit in the can. That's the world's philosophy, and sadly it's a philosophy of too many Christians who are worldly. But no, God says if you give, it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Oh, hallelujah. Amen? Supernatural. We can actively and aggressively expect opportunities to express supernatural generosity. To be the last person that people would expect to give to them, and we can be the one who gives to them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, a supernatural power attached to that.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Proverbs 24, verse 16, for a righteous man may fall 7 times. Mm-hmm. And that's the end of that. No. A righteous man can fall 7 times and rise again. We can actively and aggressively expect supernatural tenacity and persistence. Doesn't matter how many times we're knocked down, we can get back up again. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we are the righteous. Because we are like one of them wee kiddies dolls with a weighted bottle of bottom that just won't stay down. I tell you, that's bamboozled the devil on many occasions. One prophetic guy showed up here one time, upstairs, he said to me, he says, Lord, just show me a vision of you, he said. He said, what he showed me was the devil can't understand you. I said, how's that? He says, because every time he knocks you down, you keep getting back up again. He said, you're one of these now. Hallelujah. He says, you're frustrating them. I said, that's good. You know, see, very few people have the natural ability to survive failure. You're the odd person. But very few people have the natural ability to survive failure and get up and get going again. Most people, they get knocked down once and they think that's it. All over, they give up, they get depressed, and that's it. No point in trying that again. But the righteous, they have the supernatural, say supernatural. They have the supernatural ability to get up and to keep moving over and over and over and over and over again, way beyond 7 times. Proverbs 28, verse 1. Did I say we're nearly done? My goodness. Maybe we'll call it a day anyway. let's finish with this one today. Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no one pursues. But the righteous are bold as a lion. We can actively, remember, restoring the roar. The righteous are as bold as a lion. We can actively and aggressively expect, in the face of every kind of junk coming against us, we can expect supernatural boldness to arise in us.
Yeah.
Do I have to say any more or not? You feel it. You know it's designed to take you out. You know it's designed to put you down and leave you down and keep you down. You know that it's coming to, I mean, it's coming in every way, coming with by, to your ears, it's coming to your eyes, it's coming. You look around, you think, what in the world? You hear all these things, man, and you know it's, but just something down there just goes, you just tune in, get in the flow, because all of a sudden you've got a Jumbo 747 taking off, isn't it? We have left off. Hallelujah. Let me finish with what Paul says. Finally, my brethren. You glad to hear that? Finally, my brethren, including my sister. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. Finally, my brethren, be strong. How? In the Lord. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Hallelujah. Old things have passed away. We're not depending on our own strength anymore. We are not running around crying about our own weakness anymore. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of his name. We can actively and aggressively expect his strength, his supernatural strength, his supernatural boldness, his supernatural provision, his supernatural protection to manifest in us and on us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for everything that you are. Thank you for everything that you are to us and for us. Thank you. If God be for us, and you are, you've declared yourself to be for us. If God be for us, then who or what could ever be against us? Oh, hallelujah, that could even have a possibility of winning, of defeating. Thank you, Father, that you have called us to prove, to be the proof, to be the proof, to simply be the proof by laying down our lives before you, by becoming worshippers in spirit and truth, by bringing to you a reasonable service, our acceptable worship, to prove what is your good and acceptable and perfect will. Father, we choose to align ourselves with that this morning. We choose to be a people who live a life of gratitude, a life of praise, a life of thankfulness and thanksgiving. Lord, that we might prove, become the proof, become the beacon of hope, become the light, the city set upon a hill that cannot be hidden, that calls all those around us to come in to the name of the Lord, the strong tower. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.